Okay, so this is Manual Therapy Blog, and today we're interviewing Bruce Franke from Desert Palms Physical Therapy Movement Studio Institute in Tucson, Arizona. Bruce, thanks for being here.
Matt, thanks for having me.
So one of the things I wanted to do an interview with you for was because I've been taking continuing ed courses at your clinic down here for a few years now through the North American Institute of Orthopedic Manual Therapy. And just, you have a great facility, it's a great learning environment coming down here, but you're also very intriguing with your background and all the different fun things that you get to do. So if you could, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here in Tucson and across the world.
Sure, I've been in Tucson 22 years now and opened up my private practice 20 years ago and started with an emphasis on doing education because I really love seeing physical therapists educated and advancing in manual therapy and orthopedics. So we've grown from a very small one PT clinic to two locations currently with about eight professional staff. And our emphasis is definitely doing mentoring and education as well as having residency and fellowship on site. So I actually came from a Minneapolis area. I graduated 30 years ago this year and started off with Michigan State University as well as Stanley Parris's program and Shirley Sarman's Muscle Imbalance as some of the primary influences, and then expanded into a lot of the European as well as Scandinavian type approaches to manual therapy. Got exposed to Diane Lee through her publications, and that led me on to work with Earl Pettman and the NIAMT group the last 10 years and bringing them into our clinic.
So it sounds pretty eclectic from what you've been learning and doing over the past 30 years or so. Is there any particular system or thing that you've gravitated more toward over the years that personally appeals to you any more than others?
Well, I think for many years, I was about 15 years, I was teaching muscle energy and the osteopathic approach. So Mark Bugout and Philip Greenman came to our clinic when I was just out of school and had a big influence in terms of the manual therapy and that muscle energy approach. And then, of course, taking Stanley Parris's program. So doing the osteopathic has definitely been a big influence, but also the neuromuscular and the motor retraining, having been exposed to Paul Hodges and Julie Hydes and the Australian approaches on many conferences that I've presented and attended. So for me, it's the integration has been key, is looking at both the muscle energy or the manipulation thrust that we do through NIAMT. Lori Hartman, of course, contributed to that back in my career. Mm-hmm. But I think combining all that with the motor relearning and understanding how much neuromuscular we had and that somatosensory system is integral to making progress with patients and sustaining the benefits that they can achieve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you mentioned a little just a minute ago about teaching. I want to come back to that. But what kind of things influenced you before you went to school for physical therapy to choose that as a career?
That's a good question. My mom was nine boys in our family, and so I had eight brothers and one sister. And mom hurt her back with all the lugging groceries and all that and falling on the ice in Minnesota. So she had therapy and chiropractic, and she always talked about physical therapy highly. Mm. And so we ended up with two physical therapists, almost three out of the nine boys.
Oh.
And so I think her experiences and then discovering what a great field it was, I went into long-term care right out in college and saw, you know, physical therapy as a great venue for me, as I saw working with a geriatric population initially.
Hmm. Okay. And how did you, what was your first exposure? What attracted you to the manual therapy aspect for manual PT?
I think, you know, to be in an outpatient orthopedic, and the first year and having Philip Greenman show up, I didn't know who he was. But when I watched him and Mark Bookout really, you know, pushed a whole different transition. So we used to send patients. Some of our patients weren't getting better, so they'd drive 3 hours away and stay for a week in Minneapolis from Wisconsin, where I was living. They'd go get therapy, BID, so about a week of therapy, and they'd come back and have changed dramatically in just a week. So I was really inspired with their manual and manipulative approach and exercise approach. So that definitely changed my game at that point.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned teaching earlier. What kind of teaching do you do, and where do you do it? Because I know it's not just here in Tucson. It's you're a globetrotter. So
yeah, so I started 10 years out of school, was invited to start teaching. I was teaching locally just for our facilities, and then I started teaching around the United States about 20 weekends a year. And that was back in my 30s, and that was quite demanding for about 15 years. So the last 5-6 years, I slowed up and really went back to school basically and worked on my doctorate of science. And now I'm getting back into teaching again, both through the NIAMP system as well as providing education in Southeast Asia. And so I've been working around some in Hong Kong and more so in Thailand and Cambodia. Some of that is mostly helping volunteer to help people learn, because at the elementary level of orthopedic manual therapy there's a lot of demand and need, and there's not as much of the financial aspect to that, but it's definitely a great opportunity to help people and help the profession in those areas.
Yeah, how did you get into that?
Just my experience of traveling and seeing how many people were struggling, how the physical therapists were struggling even to establish a business or recruit patients, just because it was more elementary level of physical therapy training. So their premise is still a lot of ultrasound and things that I went to school and learned without as much of the understanding of biomechanics and orthopedic manual therapy. So when I saw that need and desire, as well as I saw other schools, other therapists from other parts of the world, like Europe, coming in and opening maybe businesses and thriving because they have that background, but the local people were not being accomplished with their practices. And so I thought there's a real need, and both from a financial, economic perspective for the local people, but just for the desire to help people over there. So.
Wow, that's really great. Pretty admirable. But it sounds like you're doing a lot of traveling again.
Yeah, I actually love traveling. So for me, it's a hobby and a passion. So I have no problem with
that's
that.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of different people that you've learned from over the years. Is there any particular person that you've been learning from, or anyone that you haven't mentioned that you feel has been a big mentor in your professional life?
Well, I think it goes back to some of the people I mentioned. I think early on, for sure, it was exposure to not only Philip Greenman, but John Berdelian and Mark Bookout to have their osteopathic background. And then Stanley Parris's program was definitely instrumental for me. And then the last 10 years, really spending time with Earl Pettman and the NIAMP system has been, you know, changed my whole paradigm of understanding the details that can be involved in precision and specificity in orthopedic manual therapy. I credit a lot of my growth to that, as well as Diane Lee, and of course they have association from their working together, Diane Lee and Earl Pettman. So I spent 3 weeks with her, as well as collaborated with her on some research projects. So having those kind of exposures have been, you know, to me, monumental in terms of where I'm at today.
Well, you mentioned the past 10 years with Earl Pettman and how that's changed a number of things. Any specifics that you can say what changed or why?
Well, I remember being in PT school and hearing about the quadrant and the scanning system from Canada and being inspired by that. And so actually seeing it applied within the NIAMP system to allow for a quick scan leading you to a more definitive diagnosis and detailed biomechanical understanding of what's going on with the patient. It just allows for a whole level of integration and critical thinking that I didn't necessarily get from the other systems. So for me, it's just a way of thinking, a way of practicing and organizing and structuring your approach that changes your outcomes dramatically. And again, being able to mentor and provide fellowship for our staff currently the last several years has even made it more ingrained in how the therapist can evolve to a much higher level with that system and not, you know, skip over things and miss important aspects of a patient's diagnosis and recovery.
Yeah, I'd agree with a lot of that from the things that I've learned so far in the past probably 5 years from taking their classes. You also mentioned earlier work with Saruman, Diane Lee, osteopathic, Stanley Parris, and St. Augustine. There are a lot of students that you probably come across in your career that either haven't taken very much continuing education or haven't been exposed to a lot of different approaches in terms of manual therapy. Any advice that you would give any listeners out there who are interested in learning more, but not quite sure how to do it, or not quite sure, you know, there's so many organizations out there, not quite sure how to go about choosing which one to go with.
Sure, and I have definitely attended many different schools and tried some courses and saw what fit best for me. And for me, it was creating a foundation. Excuse me, the osteopathic approach gave me the foundation of palpatory skills and understanding some of the movement dysfunctions of segmental spinal levels and such, and understanding the principles of reflex inhibition and such. But bringing in NIAMP really gave it a foundation of, you know, so much anatomy and so much understanding the neurological component and knowing your nerves and innervations and such, and then demanding that you think through your critically think through what you're doing with the patient in terms of evaluation and differential diagnosis. So for me, I just felt like as I evolved, I knew there was missing links, and NIAMP provided so much of that, but it also allowed me to go back and revisit things that I learned in the past and appreciate them at a deeper level and how they integrate.
Yeah, I've had mentors of mine that said something to the effect of take some continuing education just to get exposure to different things. But once you find an approach or a system or group or organization that really makes sense to you and you enjoy learning from them, to learn from them, take their curriculum, go through their system, that way you have a base like you were talking about. And then after that, you can build upon that base and take more advanced courses or different approaches or, you know, other ways to work on weaknesses that you might perceive in yourself to make you a more well-rounded therapist. Is that...
That states it very well. And I think for me also, when I saw that when you can get a deadline of saying, I'm going to get work towards an examination and certification, it really creates an accountability to time and review of material and integrating skills. So that's what I've seen my own staff thrive in, is that they set some goals. And they practice, they get together during the week for study groups and say, okay, I really want to be able to do this technique as well as understand the rationale. So for me, that's what it leads to, is you get yourself in a system that matches for you. And then hopefully you can surround yourself with people that are also sharing that same interest and philosophy. And it just allows you to thrive to where, for our clinics, we're very successful because we are an integrative approach to orthopedic manual therapy, but we're also sharing a lot of the same principles through the NIAMP system.
Yeah.
So it's not just NIAMP. We bring in other courses, but we work together at it. So that's a great venue to go as well.
Yeah, it's good. So a lot of camaraderie in the learning process to help each other along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some really great advice, especially for younger therapists and even new grads. But is there any other advice from what you've seen in your career, especially hiring different people into your clinics, for those students who are currently in school or will be graduating soon? It doesn't have to be specific to OMPT. It could be anything in terms of being a professional, but anything that you've learned over the years?
Yeah, a couple things. I think as a teacher, one thing that stands out is how many times I'd see a therapist struggle with feeling like the patient is the problem and that the patient is stuck in this dysfunction or this chronicity. And I saw that so frequently, but learned through my career that more often than not, it's the inability to figure out what's going on with the patient and help the patient understand their problem and work through the rehabilitation with a specificity that allows the outcomes that changes the patient's life. So I've seen enough people, you know, early in my career, I saw a patient die from the depression and, you know, taking their own life from this challenge of facing the amount of pain they're in. So I saw that side of it, and then I saw what can happen with people who were quite impaired or disabled and how they can come out of it in a much higher level and be happy in their life again. So I think being aware of that, a lot of what we do has a very strong power to help people change their lives. And sometimes it's acknowledging that we might not know what the answer is for that patient and being able to refer them out to both physicians, pain management, further diagnostics, or other physical therapists. That's been a key that I've recommended for a couple decades that I've found within our field isn't always comfortable, but
yeah,
I would recommend people consider that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And the other is keeping integration and eclectic in your approach, because I've been exposed to systems that say this is the way, this is the only way. And I think that unfortunately closes our field and doesn't expand our field, and it does disservice to our research and other things when we get too closed-minded. So being able to integrate dry needling or kinesio tape or understanding movement science and how things work from gait analysis, I think just being open-minded and try to see things with a very broad sense and then get good at identifying each different dysfunction.
Yeah, oh, that's great. That's really nice to hear, and I hope younger listeners will appreciate that advice. I'm sure they've heard a bunch of similar advice, but it's always nice to hear again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So with that, a number of things that you're doing, like we said before, is there any particular contribution that you're hoping to pass on either to your clinicians or students you've mentored over the years, or either through research, different things that you're researching that hopes to that you have hopes to really impact the PT profession?
Sure. There's things that I've evolved from early ideas that I've had and have integrated into my teaching and my training of staff. And I see those as being another element of assessing a patient's ability, such as things like testing their core control, some of the things I look at. But also, I think for me, it's... So the other thing for me that's been important is the looking at palpatory skills. So I've worked with, I've dialogued and collaborated with many high-level therapists that have impacted me over the last three decades, and sat down and talked about palpatory skills and being able to be reliable. So finding where reliability has failed us in proving that we can be within our field reliable with some of our orthopedic manual therapy examination techniques. So that our diagnostic accuracy has been compromised. So I'm working with our current staff as well as in research projects to look at how the ability to palpate landmarks and to follow landmarks and make a decision on what we're seeing can be improved on with training and practice. And that's looking at prior work done by Sarman and some of her, Shirley Sarman and some of her staff at Washington University, as well as Rich Nyberg and Diane Lee and Barbara Hungerford, and of course, Mark Bookout collaborating with me on this, and Earl Petman. So we're looking at how we can be better and get outcomes so that we can have more of a larger toolbox and examination skills to find we're able to decipher which way to go with the patient's care.
Wow, that sounds really great, and you especially have a lot of clinicians working on such a research project. It'll take some time to really get out.
Right.
Any results that you can share with us so far, at preliminary?
Sure. So in the last year, one of the things we learned is by video analysis, we saw that by watching therapists perform the test, the therapist having to actually perform it live often gets challenged by, are they on the right landmark, and are they following it quickly enough as the patient's moving, and are they making the decision and knowing the operational definitions that are correct for that specific examination techniques. So we've learned that sometimes they get lost in the moment, and sometimes being able to just sit and watch somebody else perform the test and watch themselves perform the test, they learn what the mistakes are as they go through it. So I'm hoping to evolve that so that we can bring that into the continuing education realm, where therapists can slow down and take a look at how other people are doing it and then replicate that and then find their own reliability increased over time.
Yeah, that's really good. Definitely something that'll be worthwhile for all of us. Absolutely. Out there. Yeah. Well, great. So a lot of different things that we've hit on today in terms of different topics that we're talking about. Is there anything in particular else that you'd like to bring up or mention or speak about that we haven't already?
I think for me, it's such a joy to be in part of the physical therapy profession and have people like the mentors that I've mentioned that dedicate so much of their lives, you know, more than I can ever accomplish, but what they do sacrifice to help our field and help therapists to be better clinicians. So I think acknowledging the people that have come before us and that are working so hard still to, you know, advance our profession, that's a critical element of what we should think about and be appreciative of. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for that. Acknowledging those who have either come before us or are currently among us and helping to pass the torch and really spread all this good knowledge and skills that we use every day is really a big key. So that's nice. What way can people out there who are listening learn more about either you or your clinics here in Tucson, or what you're doing teaching wise or internationally? How can they learn more about that?
Well, definitely, we have a webpage, desertpalmspt.com, which exposes them to our philosophy and what type of approach we have and our staff, as well as what education we have coming up. I'm also evolving into a business of providing online consulting for both patients and therapists that are looking for a second opinion or just maybe some guidance on where to go, or even some exercise or some intervention ideas, so they can Skype in with me. So that's mypt.com that will be coming up in the near future. So I like the idea of being able to be anywhere, and right now I do that with mentoring. So if people are looking for, you know, that option, I'm out there to help with any questions they may have or with a certain patient that they want to have looked at.
So desertpalmspt.com and mypt.com.
mypt.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, Bruce, thank you very much for the time today. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Sounds great. Appreciate it.